Hello and welcome back to the Riverside City Podcast, Season 2, Cave School. I'm Paul, your Game Master, and with me we have Natalie, who plays Mirage.
Hi.
Or, I guess you're Athena right now, because you're not an identity. Where we're at. Mike, who plays Sal.
Hey, everybody. And I have the best name, because it goes both ways.
And last but not least, Art, who's playing Chris.
Evening, everybody.
Well, because where you're at right now, you're not saying, hey, my name's Mirage. You're saying my name's Athena, because you're not in...
We're probably never coming back here.
Secret's relative anyway.
Besides, they know exactly who you are because of Murphy.
That's true.
Anyway, so question of the day comes from Art this time. What you got for us, man?
So at eviler villainous societies do you think are also out there other than the Nazis?
Does anybody have an answer prepped for that or ready for that, like just off the dome? Because I know the answer. I'm going to put my own note in here just for fun.
We don't want to give him ideas though.
Oh no, that's the point of it. Come on.
That's actually the point of these.
See, I would go with the Aztecs blood sacrifice rituals.
It's the Mayans too.
Yeah,
the Aztecs were more about it.
Correct. The Mayans are more cerebral.
Yeah.
They invented math. They invented math that fucking people over in the other continent didn't figure out until well after they died.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got an answer? Or are you thinking still?
Still thinking.
Mike, you got anything?
I mean, just part of me just wants to say the Illuminati, just because it, you know, obviously, you know, secret society probably exists, and you know, but that'd be borrowing from Chris's, you know, area, tinfoil hats.
No, these are all tinfoil hats. Yeah. That's what this is.
Yeah,
this is a tinfoil hat question.
Yeah.
What else would I ask?
Fair. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, that's the Illuminati would be worth being worried about, seeing as, you know, in most depictions, they're considered some of the smartest people in, so, I mean, especially if you go by Marvel's interpretation.
Uh-huh. I was wondering if that's where you're going with it.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, the Illuminati's a valid answer. I'm gonna put the Super Illuminati, because they're powered. Okay, Natalie, what you got?
What's the evil lady's...
Siren?
Siren. Buoys.
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. What?
The opposite of a siren. I'm going to go with buoy or lighthouse, and that's the male version of siren.
Lighthouse?
Mm-hmm.
Big tall rod.
You're not wrong.
Ah, I didn't think about that! Right.
That's so much better.
I saw it before you said it. And I'm like...
I thought it. I'm like, he's not going there. He's going there.
We shouldn't go there. No, no. Yep. We went there. Yep.
Natalie's dead.
It's because it came from Art.
It's because it came from Art.
Did not expect that from me, did you?
You got her. She's done. She's going to need a reset.
That
works.
You haven't made a male version.
There is. It's the Andro. They're the Andros.
Okay. Well, now there's.
Now they're nicknamed as the lighthouse.
Andros.
No. Their base is in a lighthouse. You're welcome.
Their home base is the lighthouse.
Home base is lighthouse.
I like it.
Oh. Actually, I need an acronym for that. I was thinking Andro because like that means male, but I hadn't come up with a good
acronym.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Because you start with the end, and then you work.
So we're going with Ogre. Ogre, and their base is called the Lighthouse. I like it. Okay, so,
Oh, it should have been something underwater, then, because if it's a lighthouse. Never mind. We already chose it.
Kraken?
Don't. No. We're not doing this. Continuing on. No. Don't even think about it. Stop. Stop. No. Turn it off.
Yeah, turn my brain off. That doesn't happen. Do you want me to throw you a bone of another one in the existing world, or no? Or do you want it? Sure. Or would that just make Art's your head kind of just start to turn?
He's going to get wrapped around the axle.
Doesn't matter. No matter what you do, my head is going to turn anyway.
Yeah, but this would give you another axle to turn, and another axis to turn on.
Yeah. Hmm. Do you want me to do that? That's the question.
It's a name you've only seen written a couple times, and it's just The League. And it's always mentioned in hushed tones. No one knows what it's connected to. No one knows, like, oh, it is the Seven. Yeah. But The League is a thing too now. Fuck it. Sorry. So, recap from last time. I believe it is... Who wants to do it? Or I can do it because I got notes.
You do it.
I got notes too, but go for it.
Let's go with yours. Yours are probably shorter than mine.
Mine are also a little more wild. Let's see. We found a bunch of stuff at the bottom of the portal. We got money. Lots of money. Essentially platinum.
Mm-hmm. 300 coins made of water.
Yes, which I think are the most dangerous things in existence.
You'll see someone break one there. It isn't quite as bad as you're expecting. It isn't all at once.
Yeah, I know, but if you put it in somebody's mouth...
You've never seen someone break one. You don't know how hard it is to do it.
We'll figure it out. In any case, we spoke to Yusuf and
Barozoi. I hate that name.
Yeah, you.
I literally came up with that randomly too. That was a random number, random name generator. I randomed it a few times, and I hate it.
Barozoi. Yusuf brought us back to Indale. Yes, mm-hmm. I got that one, and we got a couple of ear cuffs that help us speak Sand Tongue. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of we met an artificer who's rolled really well and are learning about crystal working.
Alara, and her grandson Kai.
Yep. We bought rings of water breathing, a necklace of speak with animals, which.
No, Aelin bought it. No, you found that. We
found it, but we didn't.
No, you didn't find that. That wasn't one of the things
Oh, right. They had three things that were...
Interesting.
Interesting.
And you're like, you don't need that. So you didn't worry
about it. So we bought the rings of water breathing.
Yep.
We met Yusuf's wife and kids, and then we learned more about Murphy's backstory.
Mm-hmm. He's a Bastet.
Yes, and we learned that their religion is essentially Egyptian.
Yep, basically.
Yeah,
we're in other
worlds. And you'll find out that it's the from your like kind of watching.
Oh my god, it's a reverse Stargate.
The
religion came from here instead of from Earth.
Correct. Yes. Exactly.
It's a reverse.
And what you're gonna find out, the world is kind of finding out is that all of them are that are like from another. Like there's a world that is Norse. That's like the Norse pantheon. There's a world that is the, all of these...
All over the place.
There's a reason why they came up with it. It's because someone came and essentially said, I'm more powerful than you, and I am in God. When the magic dried up, they're like... When the magic they brought with them dried up, they died. Or went into hiding. Mm-hmm. Which some of them you'll meet in the books if you read them. And some of them just died. Alright, so, next day, it is the next day after you guys agreed to meet up with the priestess at the High Temple because basically they want to talk to you because you have a bestet and you shouldn't.
Right.
Or there's a bestet with you and that shouldn't be possible.
Okay. We're in trouble.
So she proceeds to explain, so here's the thing, is we adopted... Well,
you haven't gone yet.
Oh,
you're going to the meeting.
Okay, I'm so ready.
We're getting our story straight.
I'm like, we adopted Murphy when I was... How old was I?
Are you going to tell the story
to
them?
Yeah.
And you want to wait till we get there. I'm going to describe the building first.
You described the building first, but I'm trying to remember how old she was.
She was like six or five, seven. Or six or seven.
Yeah, six. We'll go with six. Okay.
Which was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is about
normal.
Common for a cat. One that's already like, 3 years old.
I would, like, it made sense, and then he was a magical cat, and now she's like, okay, well. And
he's more magical than he thought he was.
He'll probably live for.
Ever?
For a long time. And then now she's like, oh my god, he's gonna live forever.
He's gonna outlive you, for sure.
You're gonna give him to your kids. Or your grandkids.
Yeah.
My poor great-great-great-grandchildren.
With how much power she has, she could live a long damn time.
What? Me?
Everybody here.
Oh, well.
That's the thing. We're powerful the longer you live. Unless your powers specifically draw from your life force.
Fair.
You know, like mine used to.
Correct. Yeah, you are burning yourself out, and now the force constructs are like, no, this is your mind. You're like, I'm going to live longer now. Anyway. So
I gotta meet Tenzi after this.
So the morning comes, and you know they don't wake you up at the ass crack of dawn like you might expect.
Mm-hmm. Some of us are up anyways.
They wake up, and the family does their prayers to Ra because he's the god of the sun. What we wake up and all that, and then they, you know, they're like, all right, they do breakfast. It's lots of. Grain, and not grains, it's lots of, you know, vegetables and fruits, and
okay.
Obviously, because of what he does, they're fed very well. I don't know what Egyptian peasants ate. I'm kind of curious.
Beer.
Really?
Egyptian peasants, maybe grain?
Yeah, a lot of grains.
Like ancient grains? Like the ancient
beer
grains?
Was a meal.
Some beer was.
Beer is an ancient grain.
Barley.
I'm like thinking about it. Hold on, wait.
It worked. Bread, beer, veggies, fish. They actually had a really varied diet.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. Good no on fish. You. Peas and lentil. Fish out of the river.
No fish here.
Not no. Here. No. They, yeah, the river's gone. But they have. Yeah. They. Well, no. They have the fish they got out of the reservoir. They did. The fish did survive. They just kind of shoved them into the reservoir, where they're kind of a lot of them died, but the ones that survived thrived and became huge. There's
lizards. Lizards.
Yes.
They survive in the desert.
Yeah. So basically, it's desert fare, but it's very well cooked. It's
mice.
Yeah.
Not here. In the slums, maybe not here. But yeah, it's put on a spread for you. They take care to make sure Murphy's portion's a little bit bigger than a normal cat's would be, just out happy of deference. Murphy. Murphy's happy.
I bet.
Comes to me about maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. They're like, our meeting is in half an hour. Can we please make our way to the temple?
Certainly.
If that's okay with you guys, and the acting. Now you get why he's being a little deferential. Before,
mm-hmm.
But he seems like he's a nice guy still. So you guys make your way to the temple, and you approach, and it's kindish. It's the Sphinx,
with the nose,
and it is, but it's like 1.5 times the size, which is already big, but it's made and it's covered in the marble instead of the sandstone we have now because it was stolen. It's got the. Did you know that the caps of the pyramids were not pure gold; they were electrum.
Hmm. Yeah, but electrum doesn't exist.
Yes, it does. It's actually a naturally occurring alloy.
The joke.
Yeah, but I hate that joke because I've used electrum since I was a kid. I have EP on my character sheet, man. Like even on like since I was a kid, electrum is worth exactly half a gold and half a silver.
Got it.
So if you were to sell it, it would be 55 coppers.
Makes sense.
I don't know, man. Like it was a thing. Mm-hmm. Art's having flashbacks. He's like, "Did your table ever use electrum?" So you're on the same page. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you guys arrive, and there are maybe 15 bestets out laying in the yard, just sunning themselves.
Of course,
they are all roughly Murphy sized. Maybe a couple are bigger, a couple are smaller, a couple are smaller. But he's pretty average.
Currently,
the coloring, fucking wild. It's everything. There's all black. There's ginger. There's Siamese. There's Persian. There's all different colors, all different breeds. The only thing similar is the size. They are all fucking vastly different. Any cat you can think of, there's one there. You know?
Savannah cat.
I don't. Is it the bald one?
No, it's the serval-like cat. Basically, it's a small, lanky, cheetah-looking thing, but it's actually a cat.
So, yeah. Yeah. Something similar that... like I'm saying, it's very, like... And you're almost thinking, like, maybe they're representing, like, what's available or, like, what's around. Mm-hmm. But there isn't one
that looks... What is Murphy? I was going to say. I don't remember.
What is He's Murphy? A big, fat, red cat.
He's a big, fat tabby.
Okay.
There's a lot more muscle than fat these days.
Yes.
Well, yeah,
He's
but...
been training.
But he has been training.
But in my mind, he looked like, Garfield? Like, if Garfield were real. Like, that's about his size-wise. In my brain, that's what he looked like.
But 3.5 feet long.
Big orange tabby.
Yep, he's a big orange tabby. There isn't one that looks just like him.
He's special.
Or the litter that was supposed to be full of him, if the people think it looked like him, didn't make it.
Or they got the earth. Oh, no. I see the hat.
Art busted out the hat.
Nope.
What's wrong with Murphy?
Was Garfield inspired by the Dastats?
Nope. I have a comment that I'm just not going to make.
Want to write it down and then show me later?
No.
Okay.
I don't even want it whispered out and...
You can send it to me.
All right. So...
What the fuck happened?
There are... there's probably a half a dozen priests out, like, playing with them. Like, kind of, like, throwing things for them to chase.
Right.
One's releasing, like, mice for them to go hunt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like... And they're just lounging and being superior.
Mm-hmm.
And the high a woman in a much more ornate outfit comes up, and she's maybe, you know, 5'6", maybe a little bit big, a little taller. Walks up, and she unlike all the other priests who have the mask, you know, with the eyes that now you realize they can probably see through it,
mm-hmm.
but it's just to make it look like they're not looking at the cat. You can see. Her eyes, and she's got, you know, smile lines by her eyes.
They know something I don't know.
Mm-mm. I hate it too.
Okay. But she has the crow's feet here.
Yeah, that would be bad for you.
Yeah, it would.
Oh my god, what? It's something that I don't know of.
No, it's okay.
You wouldn't approve.
Oh, of course.
It would make her sad. It's a joke.
It would be completely joking, and I know better than to say it out loud.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the high priestess walks out, who's obviously she, or at least vice high priestess.
Smile lines are here, crow's feet are here. She has crow's feet.
She's got happy eyes.
Now she can see it.
Her face has all the lines of someone who is happy a lot of the time.
So, so crow's feet here.
She literally gets to play with cats all day. This is like Athena's dream job.
Yeah. Well, this is Natalie's dream job.
So, she walks up and she, you know, she gives a very deep bow, a very deep, like, curtsy to all of you.
Bow.
You know, you bow or she bows?
I bow.
You bow. Like, very, and she says, welcome to the temple. And she says, would you prefer to have a conversation out here, or would you like to go into one of the audience chambers?
Perhaps an audience chamber.
Of course. And she smiles, and she leads you past. And a couple of the bestettes lock up and, like, rub against her, and she trails her hands down their backs, and they, you know, do their cat things and go away. And she's walking. She says, so... we had thought the entire litter lost, and along with the mother. So to find out that any of that grouping are alive is a true blessing from Bestet herself.
I'm gonna be really honest with you. We adopted him from a PetSmart when I was 6 years old.
Well, let's talk more about that when we get settled.
Okay.
So did you inside the giant cat? Giant cat building.
Mm-hmm.
Down a hallway to the left, and then you think you're inside the right paw.
Okay.
And there are skylights letting in sun.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's and there are a couple bestets curled up in the balls of sun, and then the big old skylight zone.
It smells like there's cats that live here.
No, it doesn't.
Really?
Mm-mm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Good ventilation.
Also, they're magical cats.
Well, also. they're animals that also pee and poo. So if Murphy pees and poos in a litter box, so do they, obviously. Or yeah, he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, but they live in lazy. A giant litter box.
That's true.
Yeah, they walk outside and they go shit in the sand. Like,
oh, well.
And then come back. They go shit in the sand, hunt, and then come back. Mm. They're very powerful.
Yeah.
As well, you've seen Murphy's stat line. There's not many small monsters that can fight him on an equal level. Anyway, so you're inside, and instead of taking going over to the like a throne or a big chair,
the seat of honor.
There's kind of just like a dais, where there's a slightly bigger Bastet laying there, who yawns, looks at you, and then lays her head down. You can talk. I'll listen. And they say, "Oh, thank you, great mother." And, they bow to her. Any of the best that you have a litter, you'll learn are called great mothers. So if they survive the litter, because 20 kittens usually could kill a cat. So this is obviously an audience chamber for one of them who's listening, and she's a big old white cat, like white.
Oh, pretty.
With really long fur, But anyway, so they say, please explain your story. We would love to hear how he survived.
Well, when I was 6 years old, my dad's back on Earth said, Athena, you're sad and have no friends. No, they didn't say that. But in my head, I thought they were saying that. But I basically had no friends in school, so they thought, we should get her a pet. So we went to our local PetSmart. That's a place that where you go. It's like a store or a shop. Yeah, it's like a shop, but they sell exclusively pet supplies. So companion like Bastet supplies. They have toys and cat food and cat litter, and also other dog things.
What's a litter? What's a cat litter? And they sell kittens?
Well, it's more like how the sand? It's kind of like a sand mixture.
They don't just go out into the sand?
No. Well, where I live, no. He can't. So we have a tiny little box of sand. She gets a little
defensive. You keep him locked up?
I don't keep him locked up.
Murphy goes all the time.
No. Murphy, shut up. Murphy.
He goes, fine. And she goes... And she looks past you to Murphy. Is she treating you okay? And he looks at you and opens his mouth and then flicks his tail. Yes, she treats me just fine.
Yes, he's a good boy.
I was playing with her.
He likes to play with me. So, we go to our local shop store and I'm looking at all of the different cats and dogs and, they sent me... There's an area where they can have all the cats come out and you can meet each one. And something about Murphy here, we bonded very well and we've adopted him. And he's been with me for almost 11 years.
Jesus. Okay, it's kind of strange that a Bastet would let themselves be contained like that.
I mean, you can ask him, he'll tell you.
He says... I don't really have any memories past a little bit ago. I think something happened to me and I got hurt. And I remember shiny things, which I've been, a long, long time ago. And then there's a gap. And then I remember running from some monster, from some kind of big beastie. And then I remember being at a PetSmart. You realize he has lots of gaps in his memory. Like if a person, you'd be like, what happened to you, bro?
He has a lot of stuff that happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she pets him, gives him a treat.
He takes it and sits in person.
Would just like to let you know, ma'am. Endless treat bag, very good for Bastet.
Oh, it is?
It is a very good thing to have.
She pulls out a smaller one. She says, it makes enough treats. It makes 30 treats a day.
Wow, that's pretty nice.
Mm. They're pretty, she pulls out, it's like the size of a donut hole. So it's a good sized treat. So yours are much smaller.
Little pellets.
No, they're like the size of a quarter maybe.
I was thinking like almost, how her puffs. We've seen her puff, like the cheesy puffs. I would think it would be like that size. Like a Cheeto puff.
Oh, yeah. Like that size. Like the size of a quarter, like a gumball. That's what I had in mind, yeah, hers are like 1.5 times that size. But yeah. And she says, you know, each of the priestesses carries one of these with them.
Good idea. Would
priests and priestesses.
See, that's something that would be sold at a PetSmart. Huh. You should get them here.
Okay. I'll have to talk to someone about that.
So I have a question for you. And this could be a fall question as well. Is there like a dog version of a Bestet?
Not here.
Not here? But do they know what a dog is? Or
yeah, like, there are dogs.
Okay. There's not a dog version here?
Closest thing would be a jackal.
Mm, temple dogs.
Not in
Egyptian, Egypt, but yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The temple dogs would be like the Bastets would are here.
Gotcha.
Mouse.
Yes.
But yes, yes, there's a dog version. Not here. That's not they don't revere them here, because honestly, dogs don't do well in the desert.
Closest thing to a dog in Egypt was the jackal, which is why Anubis is
jackal headed.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay.
So, so she'll kind of talk your ear off a little bit about, you know, how he eats, like, you know, things he needs. Has he displayed any special abilities?
Has he?
Yes, he has. Murphy, would you like to show her? For a treat?
He rolls over, goes, "This is my special ability."
And he says, "I want one of the big treats." And she offers him one immediately. And he goes, okay, and he grows to the size of, like, he grows to his full size. Not the huge when you buff that, but, like...
big.
And large?
But that's you, not him.
Yeah.
I know, but we want to impress, right?
No, this is more, we want to know what his natural abilities are. Because what would that litter have the ability to do? Because all of them are different.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, okay, increased size, increased strength. She's walking around, she's like pulling at him, like she's offering him treats as she does it. Like, okay, she's tracking things down. She says, elemental affinities, and she, like, mm-hmm. those claws have flames. Elemental affinities, okay. And then you see the tip of his tail, you know, how he gives you that extra boost of damage is when he flicks his tail at it. And she ends up testing it. She says, okay, there's an elemental resonance from the tail, okay. Seems like he's ability to fly.
Yeah. Fly, yes.
He sprouts wings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wings. That's not unheard of. Not usually combined with the others, but okay. And after, like, this is like 30 minutes she goes through. She's, like, asking tons of questions, asking when things happened. And so
we're sitting off in the corner just kind of...
actually, the Great Mother comes over and pads over and just sits, like, between you and makes you pet her. Asks you to pet her. And she's just kind of... she's just happy to have someone there who's not treating her like she's gold. Like, she can be...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what they're going to come with Murphy, they say... She says, thank you very much, Murphy, if that's what you like to be called. He says, that's my name.
Yeah.
She says, thank you very much, Murphy. And she turns to you, Mirage, or Athena, and says... It seems like I'll have to have someone test, but I believe he's activated multiple sets of his Bestet ability, which shouldn't be possible.
Why?
Every Bestet gets one part of the line. Two, but the giant size is very common. But if they don't get that, they get something else. But the elemental affinity, wings, all of that together, it shouldn't be possible.
I have a question.
Yes.
Could he have morphed with his siblings?
I don't think so. Is
that possible? Is that something that they do?
No. They end up killing each other a lot more often than that. No, I think... And
Murphy, do you remember your siblings?
No.
You just remember being alone and seeing bright. Or
Shinies. No, but she says, I'd like to test you. And she reaches... If you can take your hand.
Mm-hmm.
She takes your hand and... A pulse of energy rips through you, and I need a con save.
Oh, yeah. Do I feel like I need to save this?
Well, that's a Two.
Two plus four.
You go unconscious. So she says, and she catches, but the older guys will notice that she'll catch Athena, and she'll say, "I'm sorry, it happens sometimes with younger priestesses." She has some sort of animal ability. Do you speak to animals in general, yes, or something to that effect? I think her abilities merged with Murphy's at a very young age.
That is,
which is explaining why her powers are so strong. If my guess is correct.
Okay.
We couldn't separate them if we wanted to.
Yeah.
No. Or they'd both die.
Oh no. Okay.
So just. She should wake up in a minute. I'll have a priestess come. Actually, she walks over and gives you a lesser restoration, and you start to slowly wake up. And she says, "We have nothing more to speak about. It was lovely to have you here. I'm so sorry about that. Not everyone can take that much magic at once."
Okay, thanks.
You've been unconscious for 3 weeks.
No, shut up.
She says, she hands you a tiny book. It's like, you know, 3 inches by 4 inches. Mm-hmm. And she says, this has the basics of things you need to know about Bastets and how they grow. Obviously, he's, from what I can tell, he's millennia old. So the growth portions you're not going to care about as much, but it's more of the things that, based on his abilities, he might be able to do. And she hands them to you, which explains the rest of your class abilities.
So I wonder if we go back to Earth, and how can I tell? Can now Athena tell the difference between a regular cat
absolutely
and a Bastet? Okay, never mind. She knows.
Just by looking.
Gotcha. Okay.
It won't. There's no check. There is a. That's a Bastet, not a cat.
Got it.
Also, the fact that they can fucking talk.
Yes, yeah, but they always talk to her.
They've always talked to me.
You're right. You guys could actually. You don't have magic cells. You actual like casting. Oh, you guys are runes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Roll me Arcana, both of you. But everyone else. You don't need to.
He pointed to me, by the way.
Yeah.
Total of 11?
Total of 16.
Anyone broken 15, so Art. You're going to be able to identify Bastets with an Arcana check.
Okay.
It doesn't take any time. It's just more of a, you have to think to do it.
Okay.
It's more of like a, you can kind of like squint sideways at him, and like there's an aura that you can kind of pick up on a little bit.
Okay.
It's a little bigger than it should be and more robust.
Will you allow me to borrow the operations manual?
Give him the operations manual.
She hands you another one.
Oh, thank you.
She put a different pocket. Like... Different pocket.
Neat.
I carry this around in case young priestesses forget theirs.
So, did they already tell us why they have to, like, cover their face?
Oh, most Bastets don't like to be watched.
Do you guys play with them?
Yeah. Yes, and she shows you. She takes it off and shows you that it's see through from inside.
Yeah.
It's a thin enough fabric that they can see through it, but it doesn't look like they're being stared at.
Do you feel like maybe if you guys all had bonds, maybe you would be able to, you know, bond with your best and
as would much
be as you know. Strong as Murphy.
As much as we would love that.
Yeah.
The ability you have hasn't been seen in this world for 5 generations.
Are you saying I'm special?
Is that 5 regular generations?
Five human. About 200 years.
Okay. Because there is a difference.
Correct. Well, a long, big difference. About 200 years since they've had someone with anywhere close to the power you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They've had people Chris's friend, but they're hated.
Bruce.
People like Bruce who control.
Domination versus
however, it doesn't work on Bastets. Hold on.
In the episode with him, he controlled Murphy.
He tried, and Murphy broke it instantly.
Oh.
Bruce said, "Oh, you're intelligent. Sorry."
Exactly. It doesn't. But they don't. But the fact that they could try, and Bastets aren't intelligent until they're like 5 or 6 years old, so they could take and he could take a bunch of kittens and fuck off with them, you know.
Yeah.
So they're not loved here.
Okay.
I'm gonna show them. I don't know if they know about this, but we got laser pointer. So I'll just show them, you know, cats with laser pointers, and show them that you can modify the light spell instead of creating a.
She literally does it for you. Like she says, it's the first spell we all learn.
Also, here's some other toys, and she pulls out a bag, and here's a toy that's pretty good.
She leads you to a room full of probably 200 different kinds of toys on the walls,
and catnip.
And in the back there is a garden full of catnip.
This is
what we know about cats.
Incredible. I like this place. This is a good place.
You're gonna want to come back here, aren't you?
So I feel like when I was passed out, you guys were talking about something. I feel like I heard the word die.
We're all gonna die.
Well, that's true, but it seemed like, you know, I passed out, and then moments later, the word die appears.
We thought you died?
No, because you sons of bitches were still on the bench!
We sat down in the same spot.
The high priestess will take mercy on you and say, your bond with Murphy is incredibly intense. Mm-hmm. If you were to be separated for a significant duration, there's a very high likelihood neither of you would survive.
What's the distance?
A couple hundred miles. Depends on how powerful you are.
Okay.
How powerful he is.
Okay.
And honestly, the fact that he tells me that when he explodes, he reappears on your side. I mean, if he could just make himself explode, he could reappear on your side. So he's not that worried about that part of it.
Okay.
And you realize he does explode, like, in a ball of fire and then reappears on your side. Yeah. It isn't like just
whatever element.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't like he just, like, shrinks down and jumps. It's more like he fucking disappears and reappears, you know, somewhere on your person.
In the bag.
Usually in the bag.
But anyway.
So he explodes, is back to regular size, and is in the bag.
He just shrinks at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He shrunk back down. He's just kind of padding along with you guys. But, yeah, you guys spend some good time at the Temple of Bastets. And a couple of Bastets, like, sniff you guys, like, seeing if you're worthy to join you.
I make sure before they come up to sniff me, I rub my hands with the catnip.
A couple of them, like, sniff and then go... That's a good strain.
I gotta see the kittens.
There are none.
Oh, yeah.
Every 200 years.
Every 200 years, you're right.
I'll have my familiar out.
Last one was about 40 years ago.
You know, just kind of just chilling.
Yeah.
It's warm.
He's a little lizardy, snaky, lizardy, dragony thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She likes that.
Yeah. So, they comment on it, and they ask how you know, clean the scales and stuff like that, because they do have lizards that some of the Bastets keep as pets, because they like to chase them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Bastets have pets.
I bet.
But anyway, you guys spend probably 4 or 5 hours there. And they offer you, they feed you lunch. It's very fishy. Mm-hmm. Fish forward. Some sashimi, some sushi, that kind of thing. And then... they lead you. You guys are let to go. They say if you'd like to stay, you're more than welcome to stay here wherever you want. We'll have rooms put up for you if you want them. But other than that, we're just glad to know that whole litter did not disappear. That whole line did not disappear. And she says that like it means something more.
Check the cast members. Cast Discord member chat.
Oh, I saw it. I already saw the comment.
That was I.
We're not getting a replacement.
No, you're not.
I just forwarded it to there, just so that, you know, that's what I was trying very hard not to say, because yep. Murphy would just not be very nice to me ever again.
Okay, so you guys get out of the temple. It was a nice visit. You learned a little bit about Murphy. You learned that he is... gonna get more powerful, which you kind of knew because how he grows with Athena, so it's not like that was a strange thing. But you have a guide that tells you where he's going now. Like, essentially it explains the rest of your class features in Drake Warden.
Yeah.
Where they're gonna come from. Where they're gonna go.
Where they're gonna go from.
Cat and I Joe.
Yeah.
And also, like, your animal bond power set, which explains where those abilities are coming from. So, you guys kind of have an open city. to play with now. Yusuf had a meeting to go to. He went off to a different paw to go to a different meeting. And it seems like he left hours ago. So you have the city of Endale at your fingertips.
Did they mention they have a library? I don't recall.
They have not mentioned a library. They haven't asked though. Yeah. I do have a list of interesting places.
Oh. Pull the map out and see what pops up.
Okay. So you've got there are some shops listed. Sandstorm Weaponry, Endale Artificery, Desert Apothecary, Nomad Provisions, and Sandstone Curios. There's also the Holy Oasis, the Obelisk of Law, the Merchant's Quarter, and the Sunstone Temple.
Okay.
I didn't write all those down.
Guessing the Artificer...
You might want to write them down because they're different places you're going to want to go visit.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the Artificer shop is the one we went to already.
Yes. Would you let me to go Endale through? Artificer is...
Would you let me to go slow for and read them off one to one? Sandstorm Weaponry. You already have Endale Artificery. Desert Apothecary. Nomad Provisions. Sandstone Curios. The Holy Oasis. The Obelisk of Law. The Sunstone Temple.
Sunstone Temple?
Yeah. You forget it's the Temple of Ra, probably. But well, you're not sure about that, though. You haven't actually talked to someone about it.
I'm really hoping that the curio shop isn't my curio shop.
It's not.
Good. I didn't have anything prepared.
And those are the one I gave you so far. I had the Merchant's Quarter, but that's just a place you can go to buy shit. That's where the other shit is. So would you like to? Those are the named locations. If you like mentioned, almost like they have some, like, things you might be interested in. It's a magical map.
Yep. Neat.
So where would you like to go? You can go one by one if you'd like.
I know I have a choice, but
I'm curious about the Curiosop.
Okay.
So we'll start there.
Okay. So it's down the street. Maybe it's like two blocks over from the artificery shop you went to. It's a much smaller shop. Like, the artificer shop was kind of decent size. This is a hole in the wall. I'm talking maybe 30 square feet of walkable space.
Hmm.
5x6. No, that's bigger than that. Hold on. Like 300?
10x30?
That's way too big. I'm talking like the whole shop might be 10x30. But the walkable space is like a third of that. So 100 square foot. It's not big. Yeah, there's really narrow aisles full of just stuff. The shop
sells. So I find a space to stand out of the way and just let them bring stuff over to me.
It's not narrow. There are people your size here or close to it. So like it is big enough, just barely, that you can walk.
You walk. Sideways. You walk side size.
And side step, you don't hit anything. If you walk straight on, you might clip stuff.
Okay, sideways it is.
So the shop sells unique and exotic items from all over the world, from all over Endale, or the side of the world,
the desert.
They offer a variety of trinkets, jewelry, and other decorative items. They also sell rare and valuable artifacts that have been found in the desert. There are two shopkeepers, an elderly woman and a young man. Seems like it's the theme. The shopkeepers here. The elderly woman is Amira. She actually, when you look, is wearing what looks like snowflake earrings.
Interesting.
And her son is a young man named Kareem, Amira and Kareem, Amira and Kareem, Karim. He seems like a storyteller. Any piece you ask, he tells you the story of where it was found, who was with them, you know, that the whole thing. And he asks for any stories you have. He's very, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Things you'll find of interest. You find a map, not so different from what you actually found, but non-magical. It just kind of lists off locations of hidden springs and oases. But you notice that your map probably does the same thing, but it's magical, so you don't need it. There's a necklace made out of some kind of vicious desert creature. The teeth are 6 inches long, but they're spiny, you know? And then there is a dagger said to belong to a legendary warrior. Mike, if you trigger your detect, do you have detect magic as a thing or no?
Nope.
I believe I
have. And I'm almost sure you
I do. Have identify. But...
Which, yeah.
Yeah, I got detect magic.
Do you want to pop it?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
You, or if you're going to spend 10 minutes here, you can do it for free.
Yeah.
There's very little magic in here. The things that are magical, that dagger you found is magical. The earrings she's wearing with the snowflakes are magical. And,
I'm guessing the ear cuffs that we are magical.
Yes, but I'm talking about, like, of the things in the shop that aren't worn by you guys, like, you assholes.
Hey, we never checked to see if they were.
Yeah. It's crystalline magic. And the last thing you'll find is there's a book behind like, hidden behind some stuff in the back. And, like, the back that's magical. But that's about it. And then there's like, some crystal stuff, like, you see. There's a thing that keeps his coffee warm and stuff like that. Or cold.
Whatever drink he has, it keeps it chilled.
Exactly. That kind of, like, a couple or things like that.
Whatever the ideal temperature.
A small thing right makes a bit of wind, like a fan. So, do you have any questions? Do you want to, you want to look at anything in more depth? Do you want to ask, you know, want to talk to her, him, whatever? You obviously, they introduce themselves as, you know,
yeah,
who they are.
I'll check out the dagger.
Mm-hmm. You're going to identify it?
Sure.
It is a +1 dagger. That in addition, if it strikes a desert beast, what we classify as a desert beast, like, we're talking scorpions, stuff, anything that, like, naturally lives in an arid climate, it auto-crits. There's an Asian beetle walking up and down the fucking woodwork there. It just walk up and down the whole thing.
It's mocking me.
Is it a spider or an Asian beetle? It looks like an Asian beetle.
It is a beetle.
It's a beetle.
It's orange.
Anyway, so, but yeah, so that's the daggers, and you do, you, it doesn't necessarily tell you who owned it last, but you think that story might actually be true, because someone with that kind of ability, you put that in the hand of, like, I don't know, a rogue, they're a fucking monster. Not now.
Yeah. Previously.
Yeah. It you realize that the reason why it has that magic is the very hilt. The actually, it's not even the hilt, it's the butt cap. All the magic's in the butt cap. And it just, essentially, it hits something that it's keyed to, and it, like, sends a jolt through. Drives
it harder.
No, it's like a force push that shoves it in.
Neat.
I suppose
if you mentioned that book, there's a magical book, whatever, that had... It was hidden behind some things.
No, it's not. It's behind the counter.
Oh, it's behind the counter. Then never mind.
I thought you were. They obviously know they have it, and it's something that's precious. Now you can say, is there anything else you have that's less mundane? They might bring it out if you ask nicely. Or
no, I thought you were saying it was, like, hidden behind some things on one of the shelves.
No.
But I necklace just sounds cool to me. So
absolutely. He says, that's very nice. That's a sandworm necklace.
Sandworm?
Taken from my youth. Yeah, they're 6 inches long. Taken from my youth.
Just remember to walk without rhythm.
Correct.
Yeah. Hey, to be clear, that's just been around for
fucking
decades. hell, half a century at this point.
Yeah.
And Soji, yeah. But yeah, she says, it's good for warding off danger in the desert. The smell.
Okay.
Also, okay. The way they clack together, it's a distinctive sound of the beast. Essentially, it's a non-magic magic item.
Mm-hmm.
It has a chance to stop you from getting it jumped in the desert. Because it's crafted well.
Do the teeth resonate?
Yeah, they clap together and they make a resonance.
Okay.
Everything is a vibration.
Yes.
She would. Do you want
to? I'm gonna try to negotiate a price.
Let's roll me persuasion. I'll roll persuasion back. Probably gonna win, but I put my best step forward.
So that's a 10. plus.
14.
So I had 20 even.
24.
Yeah, she will sell it to you for one drip. She was asking two, but she...
I'm spending her money.
It's a 25% chance to dissuade any desert monster from attacking.
That's worth it.
I'm thinking once I get home, I might be able to make it into a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Do we want the dagger, too?
Do you want the dagger?
I mean, auto crit, but it's a D4. So.
Yeah. To be honest with you, it sounds cool, but...
They may not know what it is, to be honest. If you ask, they'll tell you the story, but they don't know. But they don't mention it has a, like, when it strikes a desert creature. They may not know what it is.
Okay.
So if you tell them, they might offer you something. Or if you tell them, and you know, I don't know. They may not know.
We'll start
and
there.
And he'll explain that it was. Well, what they know is that it was wielded by a warrior about 200 years ago. Who would go into the desert by themselves and come back with a harvest unlike anyone ever seen. Every time. They were light on their feet faster than lightning. They would leave on a skipper and come back in half the time. Like, basically, they're describing everything that a very high-level rogue would be able to do.
Yeah.
But with this dagger, meaning they fuck shit up if they get caught.
Okay. So how much are they asking for the dagger?
They say with the history we have on it, it'd be 30 drips. Really expensive.
Yeah.
But they like that historically, you know, it has historical significance, and he can like give you the lineage and the guy, you know. What mm-hmm. I mean?
Not something I desperately want, but you know.
No, and but
not
I...
Not to remove something of, you know, historical importance.
I'm going to see if I can negotiate for some of the... one of the... The Italian seasoning.
Oh.
Ounces.
How much potatoes were worth? I don't remember. I didn't write that shit down.
You didn't.
I told you what that was worth. I gave you a price.
We gave one to the artificer.
No, she wouldn't take it.
Right.
Because it would buy the building next door.
Yes.
I want to say, yeah, like, you could do an even trade for one of those for the dagger.
For the dagger? I'm good
now,
with that.
Now, here's the thing. You will flood the market relatively quickly.
Yes.
Quickly. Like, it will work a few times. Do you want to spend it on that? What I'm saying is, in fact, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get to buy three things with those.
Okay.
Before their value dramatically drops off. Do you want to spend it on that?
No, we'll keep it in mind and may come back.
Okay, so would you like to go to the next one?
Sure.
Let's do Sandstorm Weaponry, because I have it on the mind.
Okay.
This shop specializes in weapons designed for combat in sandy environments. They offer swords, axes, spears, and bows made from sturdy materials that can withstand the harsh conditions of the desert. They also sell protective gear like shields, helmets, and armor made from sand-resistant materials. Shopkeepers are Arkin and Amira. Is that another Amira? Did I fucking repeat a name already? I did.
It's a common name.
Yeah, fuck it. It's common. Arkin is a burly bearded man with a weathered face and a kind smile. He's been in the shop for generations, and he knows everything there is to know about weapons. He's, like, 90. And with magic, it's not like he could live another 50 years, you know? Even as a human. But, and his young shopkeeper assistant is his daughter. Or his granddaughter, probably, or great-granddaughter, even. She's a skilled swordswoman. But she's here because she wants to learn about all weapons, not just swords. Interesting things you'll find are, there's a scimitar made of some kind of sand-resistant alloy you've never seen before. It's immune to all kinds of erosion. Sand, water, whatever. It doesn't erode. It is what it is. It is perpetual. It is always going to be this same sharpness. There is a crossbow that can be fired with it with incredible accuracy even in a sandstorm. Mechanically, it gives you advantage in shooting the wind instead of disadvantage. Like, let's say you've got like a whirlwind attack or a whirlwind spell. You shoot into it and you get advantage instead of disadvantage, which I think is kind of neat. And that is a magical effect. There's wind crystals in it. And then there's a suit of armor made of material that's both lightweight and heat resistant into harsh desert environment. It's mithril half plate. Medium armor with no max dex. Not super useful to you guys, but it is there. Also, but however, it is armor you can wear in the desert without overheating. That is something very relevant to everyone but you guys. Because Cellular Armor is... You're wearing a tactical suit, so you don't care.
I'm also resistant to heat.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't care. And none of you guys are wearing real armor besides your light suits, which are literally just essentially tapping into your powers and making them work.
And pretty much right now, we're all in, you know, warm weather clothes.
Yeah, so nothing that's... there's nothing insanely useful there, but there were just interesting things they had.
So the metal is...
The alloy for the scimitar?
Yeah.
It's otherworldly.
I'm going to ping it. Does it resonate well? Does it give a nice tone?
Yeah.
All right.
You know where I'm going with that.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't figured it out, but it's okay.
What am I?
He's a Bard. Sound mage.
Are you trying to make a web, make a musical instrument out of everything?
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
He's a sound mage.
The guy, Arkin sees you looking at it. He says, "It's a fine piece. We haven't been able to find the materials to make more, but it was a block of metal recovered from the desert."
Interesting.
I had to forge it that sharp. It took a bit of know-how.
Mm-hmm.
Because we couldn't sharpen it.
With Identify, would I be able to figure out what the material is? Or what our equivalent name for it is?
It's a mixture of mithril and carbon.
It's mithril steel.
Yes.
And we don't have mithril on our planet, do we? Not that we know of.
You've been told that it exists. And that there may... But it might be so deep underground that it's never been found. But the scholars do say that there is enough evidence that it does exist.
Okay.
And it would take a, you know, excellent forge, or excellent smith to manufacture such.
But yeah, no, yes, it would take a hell of a smith to figure out how to work mithril like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that he forged in the edge and didn't have to carve it, and didn't have to sharpen it, that's the insane part to someone who knows how weapons something is.
You don't forge
in an edge. It is, you can't.
Yeah.
This guy has some kind of fucking voodoo he do. He's a monster. This dude would make so many dollars if he lived on Earth. Honestly, his shop is, this is the biggest shop you've been to. It is well done.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably 15 other people in here shopping at the same time as you guys. They all look at things like, there's a massive crossbow on the wall. Like, I'm talking 6 foot long with bows that snap out that are another 5 foot wide each. It's a great crossbow. It's an arbalist. This motherfucker throws 2d12. Cha-chunk. But it takes 3 rounds to reload it, you know? With a winch. So pretty much useless in combat.
It's good for that opening shot.
And then you... And also, it looks like it would break if you dropped it. You'd have to, like, stow it some way to make it safe. Like, if there's another... If there's, like, a weapon you think they might be here, the guy's got it.
Okay.
That was more like, those are the interesting...
Interesting ones, yeah.
Anything else? You want to talk to Amira? You want to talk to Arkin? Like,
I'm gonna ask if he has even any little bits of the metal that he made the sword out of.
He says, I put every single ounce that we had into that. He says, even still, I had to... He says, beneath the hilt, there's a little bit of filler I didn't love, but I didn't have enough.
That's fine. Okay. I'll leave it for now.
Would you like to know how much it would cost?
I like it.
Yeah, I know you like it. Do you want it?
Just for the sake of, I want to try and figure out how to replicate it.
The hard part is finding the metal.
Yes.
But we're just doing our shopping. Yes. We're
window, you're window shopping right now. Yes. Okay, we'll go to the next shop. In an artificer, you already went in. All right, and then you have the desert apothecary.
Yes.
The shop smells a variety of medicinal herbs, potions, and antidotes. They also offer advice on treating common ailments and injuries that are common in the desert, such as dehydration, sunstroke, and sun-related infections. Anya is a middle-aged woman with a kind heart and wealth of knowledge about herbal medicine. She's running the apothecary for years, and she's always happy to help customers find the right remedies for their ailments. And her son is Jahan, J-A-H-A-N, a young man with a bright smile and a passion for healing. He's always learning how new herbal remedies and is eager to share his knowledge with others. Interesting things you'll find. There's a potion that cures dehydration and restores stamina. You sniff it. You're like, Gatorade? It's not Gatorade.
But
they got close enough that you're like, that bitch is just Gatorade.
Needs a little bit more sugar, but...
Yeah, exactly. It's lacking the sugar. Like...
And the color.
But basically, what you realize, it's just a lot of salt. They figured out that they need salt to retain water. There is a salve that she says is almost magical in how it deals with wounds and infections. And then there's an antidote that neutralizes the effects of any poison.
That one I would definitely be interested in.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the salve, if you're curious, is the magic item that the... It's not pigments, but it's the other one.
Paraff. The oh God. It's
P... Nolzer. It's the old... No, this is from older edition. It's the one that... it's the multi-use item. Like, one dose is a cure wounds. Two doses, you know, it's... Basically, it's a catch-all item. What the fuck is it? It's a... healing salve magic item 3.5. Bet you I can find it. Hold on, I'll find this fucker. This is just for me now. I gotta find it because it's gonna piss me off. Oh, they called it restorative ointment. It is the Kyoten's ointment. Or restorative ointment. Okay. Five doses each. Each is one. It's a cure wounds for the one dose, or another dose is cure poison, or another dose is to cure disease. It's like it's a. They're really expensive because they're super versatile.
But the poison would be good, and then I'm gonna ask about any.
Oh, it is a thing in D&D now. No shit, it's in the basic rules. Fuck. Okay, hold on. It's just called restorative ointment. It's it has a default. It has five doses, and one dose can be swallowed or applied to the skin. It heals for 2d8 plus 2, so it'd be 48 plus 4. Which is pretty fucking massive, and ceases to be poisoned and is cured of any disease. That's one dose. Does all of those things.
Nice.
Oh, all
right. So we're getting that right.
Yeah, probably. And then the poison antidotes.
Yeah. So each dose of that is going to be five, not drips, but the droplets.
Okay.
So half.
So a half. Okay. So we can get up to what? How many doses?
10.
10?
And then the restorative ointment, magic item. You realize it isn't probably a magic item, or it's the equivalent of it, would be worth 10 drips.
Okay.
Actually, more like, let's say 15. The 15 feels more fair. It's half as valuable as the other thing you found. 15 drips for the restorative ointment, but it is illegitimate, like, you know there's magic involved. Or it's as close to magic as you've seen that wasn't crystal here. Or clerical. You know, I haven't even seen a single wizard. Like, no one's claiming that it's crystals or...
So you said each dose... the antidotes is five drops.
Yep.
And there are 10 drops in a drip.
Yes.
Okay. And then this is 15 drips.
So yeah, that's what you're gonna find in the apothecary shop. She'll explain that basically they're derived from desert flowers and also the poison from some like reverse engineered poisons.
Okay. I'm also gonna ask if she has any seeds of various plants from the area.
Yeah, she'll sell you like a bottle full. You need one of each, five of each, ten of each.
Ten of each? Various of the miscellaneous various plants.
Sure. Dried or fresh?
Fresh. Well, I want to try to germinate them at some point in time.
Then dried would still work.
Okay.
You got to rehydrate them first. And she'll offer shit. Like, she'll do it.
Can I trade her some of the flower seeds that I brought? The miscellaneous flowers?
Yeah, that's fair trade.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, that makes total sense. All right, so you guys, are you going to buy either of the ointments, or are you going to wait to come back?
No, we're going to buy the ointments.
The ointment or the antidote?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. So 15 drips for the restorative ointment.
And
then half a drip each for the antidotes. Whatever, so up to 10.
We'll buy the 10, so it'll be even 20.
Okay.
Just because I know the DM.
The last shop we had is No Man Provisions. They sell food, water, and other supplies that travelers need in the desert. They offer a very dry food, water purification tablets, and camping equipment. Mm. The shopkeepers are Rashid and Zanab.
We're probably going to need camping equipment.
No, we already have camping equipment. We got stocked.
Water.
We got stocked before we left.
You have camping equipment.
Okay. We have
and we have somebody who has good berries that takes care of all that.
You know what? You're very right.
There's a portable water filter that can purify even the dirtiest water, which you have actually, like, straws that do that in your bag.
Yeah.
They have solar-powered lanterns that provide light for hours on end. They're solar crystals.
But they are crystals.
Yeah, they're expensive as shit, though.
Okay.
They're like 5 drips, which you guys realize is fucking astronomically expensive. But
they're crystals that we could use to study to...
You're right.
So yes, we're gonna buy one of the lamps.
Yeah, it's essentially a perpetual lantern. It's continual. It's the effect of the continual flame spell.
Yeah,
but it's a lantern, and as long as it gets in the sun for at least a minute, it can power for a week. Like it is a long time.
I figured the best way to study the crystals is by having something that
And the last one is a foldable tent that has a hard bottom. Like, it's specifically for camping on sand. It is a 20-foot by 20-foot tent when set up. And the claim is that it can be set up in less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, you pull it out of the bag and you just throw.
No. Like it's not magical at all. It's engineered to hell.
You haven't seen the tents nowadays. You pull it out of the bag, you throw it, and it automatically pops open.
Yeah, effectively, it's that. Yeah.
Yes.
And that would be 5 drips for that.
The hard bottom on the tent might be a good idea.
Yeah. And it's 20 by 20. It's enough you could put up a divider and not worry about privacy if you were...
You said 5 drips?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 10 drips total in that thing. And, you know, as you guys are kind of just walking, like, you shopped... are you gonna go back and buy anything that you hadn't picked up on yet? There are other things you can purchase. Like, if you wanted to buy your own skipper, that would be something you'd need a lot of that money for.
Do we need the skipper?
It's very fast.
It is fast, but we're also
how small do the skippers get?
They're anywhere from like the size of a motorcycle to as big as an RV. Like they're fast and like half a gun as wide. Now you could find something that's like the size of like. So if you think about any portal you've been through, they've all been about 10 foot wide.
Okay.
Also, as long as the weight's not too much, you can put it in your bag of holding.
Yeah, that was going to be the question.
So as long as you buy, you'll find out that as long as you buy one that is wind attributed, which most of them are, they're light as shit. Like I'm talking less than 50 pounds.
Okay. Comes with all the control crystals.
Yeah. But that it would be like 200 trips to do that. It'd be... Or you use all of your remaining spice money. Not all of your remaining spices, but your spice money. Like your extra valuable spice money. I'd say like five canisters of it and some salt. Okay. You know?
Yeah, because I have 25 pounds of salt, 15 pounds of pepper, 5 pounds of the Italian seasoning, and 5 pounds of pumpkin seasoning.
Let's say 2 pounds of Italian and 2 pounds of pumpkin, and they'll sell you a sedan-sized skipper.
That'll fit in the bag of holding?
It weighs like 8 pounds. It weighs like 15 pounds. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. It weighs more than that, but it probably weighs like 150 pounds, maybe, with all the wood. It's made of mostly wood. It's not a combat thing. This is a, oh shit, there's a fight. You chuck it in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
He says you'll need to find someone to teach you to do that. To teach you to drive it. Because it is not a land vehicle. It's not a sea vehicle. It's a sand vehicle.
It's a land vehicle. Sand is
okay,
on land.
I guess. It is a land vehicle. But it
drives like a boat, so it's a sea vehicle.
But it drives like a boat. It would probably be...
I think you get half proficiency if you have either.
Yes. I think that's fair. But regardless, as you
guys... So you said how much?
200.
Or 2 pounds.
Two pounds of Italian and 2 pounds of...
pumpkin.
Pumpkin. And if you mention the salt, they'd take a pound of salt, too. And that'll pay for your skipper.
Okay.
And you're right, John. You have a sedan-sized skipper. All right. So you kind of make your way back to Yusuf's because you've been out all day.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk in and you find him and, you know, him cooking with his wife and his kids playing.
The dagger.
The dagger and possibly the scimitar.
The dagger's 30 drips and the scimitar is... 5.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Cool. So you make your way back, you're kind of chatting about your purchases, and
actually, the dagger
is
a gift for Yusuf.
Oh. Can you tell him what it does?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. So you haven't given it to him yet.
So 15...
Gosh, we're probably about to go fight something.
15 and 5?
Let me double check. But 30 and 5.
30 and 5. Okay.
You should be at 218.
Yes.
I can maths.
Yeah, so you had 300 and you subtract.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I've been doing that.
Okay. So,
he's just making sure that we
agree. So as you're kind of walking, talking about you're buying a skipper, he says, "You bought a skipper? Tomorrow? I teach you how to drive it."
Yes.
And as you think about how awful it's going to be essentially berated by a man you really like, it's time to end.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.